الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، السلام على الرؤوس المشالات.
Where is the head of Imam al-Hussein عليه السلام buried? We all know that the body of the Imam, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, is definitely buried in the land of Karbala. A few days after he was killed, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and Banu Asad had come together to bury the holy body of the martyrs of the 10th of Muharram. They buried the bodies of the Imam and of the family of the Imam and of the companions of the Imam salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. By the same time, you find that the heads were placed on spears. And as was the tradition and the sunnah of Bani Umayyah, they would place them on spears and parade them from city to city. This, of course, was a tradition that had begun with Yazid's father, Muawiyah. Muawiyah, in making his point of just how dominating he was against any enemy that dared to stand up against him, was that not only should that enemy be executed, but that you should get their head, place it on a spear, and go around cities so that people see that head on that spear. It is quite disgusting for us to think of the first 50 years of our religion, a religion which we pride ourselves on, as being a religion where it became normal for people to take heads and place them on spears, decapitate them, and then show them to men, women, young, old, without feeling any guilt whatsoever. Muawiyah did this with Amr bin Hamaq al-Khuza'i. Amr bin Hamaq was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He had fought alongside the Imam at Jamal and at Siffin, amongst other battles. And yet you found that Muawiyah, with Ziyad, son of his father, had ordered for Amr to be killed. When Amr was killed, they took the head, and it was the first head in the history of the religion of Islam that was placed on a spear and paraded in the streets. So if you're a young three-year-old or four-year-old, you would be shown this head from a young age. This, of course, is psychologically traumatic on the one hand for a young child to see, but on the other, it also builds a norm for you. A norm where blood becomes normal, where seeing heads being paraded becomes normal. In turn, 10, 15, 20 years later, it's very normal for you then to see heads paraded on the streets of Karbala, or the streets of Kufa, or the streets of Sham, because you yourself have grown up knowing that anyone who's been an enemy of the state will be beheaded in this way. So therefore, when it came to the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you found that unfortunately, only 50 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had died, His grandson's head was being paraded in the streets of the so-called followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This, without a doubt, is a dark spot in the history of the religion of Islam. As in, it's disgraceful for a Muslim to actually be discussing how the very flesh and blood of his prophet was beheaded in the very streets where his prophet had spread the religion. But the reality was that this head was decapitated, like the head of other family members as well. Ali al-Akbar, Abul Fadl al-Abbas, alayhim as-salam, you would find that they were killed, but they were not beheaded when they were killed. You never hear that Ali al-Akbar was actually beheaded when he was killed. You don't hear that Abul Fadl al-Abbas was beheaded when he was killed. You hear that his arms were taken off him and that he had an arrow in his eye. But you never hear that he was beheaded. Umar ibn Sa'ad ordered that after all of these had been killed, and after the battle of Karbala had finished, Umar ibn Sa'ad ordered that I want you to go and decapitate their heads so that we place their heads on spears. Does not matter how young they are or how old they are. If it's the head of a six-month-old baby, then take that out of the earth. And if it's the head of somebody in their 90s, because many times we forget Ashab al-Hussein alayhi salam when it came to the heads being paraded in the streets. You normally will hear that the family of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had their heads paraded. But we forget that Habib ibn Madahir and others also, although dying without having been beheaded, had their heads beheaded as a sign and the symbol of power for that state. So of the people that many people ask the question about, is that okay, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's body is in Karbala, but his head is where? And that's why you hear many different opinions, because the head went from place to place. And what sometimes happens is that we don't differentiate between where the head stayed for a day or two or three, and where a head was buried forever. Because you know, in the journey from Karbala and coming back all the way to Karbala, the head stayed at certain places. Does not mean necessarily that the head was buried at that place. Because you have what are known as maqamat ra's al-Hussein alayhi salam, the places of the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So when you have these maqamat, you may have a place like Halab. Do we believe that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's head is actually buried in Halab? No, we don't. Do we believe that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's head rested in Halab for a certain time? Yes, we do, because all of you have heard the story of the famous monk who was in Aleppo. That monk who was in Aleppo saw the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He came towards the head of the Imam. He began to even converse with the Imam. And that's the beauty of the story of the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam had certain karamat associated with it. We have mu'jiza and we have karama. Mu'jiza is maybe when you're trying to prove a point in the face of a different ideology. An ideology that says to you, for example, that you're not a prophet. You come with a mu'jiza to prove your prophethood. Moses, magic, Jesus, curing the dead or the blind and so on. But when it comes to a karama, it may be a special gift given to you, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his chosen servants. And Imam al-Hussein's head, alayhi salam, went from place to place. And on a number of occasions, we could hear words from the lips of Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam, as a special honor given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he had sacrificed on the plains of Karbala. However, we see in the Muslim world that there are a number of claimants for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. If I go to Karbala today, most people will say to me that here is where Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is buried. I cannot disagree with that, because definitely his body is buried there. But our brethren in Al-Qahira, in Cairo, have also a shrine for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Then also you have a shrine for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Asqalan. Asqalan is where? In Palestine. Also, you have a place for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Damascus. Also, you have a place for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam where? In Afghanistan. Also, you have a place for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam towards Khorasan. So you have so many claimants for the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Anyone who goes on holiday to Cairo, you will go towards the shrine. There is the shrine of Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. and the shrine of Sayyida Nafisa alayhi salam, and the shrine of Sayyidina al-Husayn alayhi salam. The people of Egypt are adamant that Imam al-Husayn's head is in Cairo. We, the people of Iraq, for example, may be adamant that the head of Imam al-Husayn is where? In Karbala. The people in Palestine say, both of you have got this wrong. The head of Imam al-Husayn is where? In Asqalan. Many of you would have heard of certain prolific scholars like Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Yes? Asqalan in Palestine. So you have all of these different places as to where Imam al-Husayn's head lies. By the way, there's a miracle even within this. Does anyone discuss or does anyone want Yazid bin Muawiyah's burial or grave to be in their city? And yet look at the clamor. Imam al-Husayn's in Oz. Imam al-Husayn's in Oz. Imam al-Husayn's in Oz. The miracle of the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is that Yazid's soldiers all thought that they were dumbing down Husayn. They didn't realize they were leaving a spot where every place there is a labbaik of Husayn. Every place. All the places you will go, you'll see in different parts of Arabia, different parts of Africa, there are people who say Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's head is here. Not just here, we want it to be here. It's an honor for us that it's here. It's a pride and joy for us that it's here. But the reality is that we have to investigate the sources, because some of these sources may have their own hidden intentions as to why they want the head to be in one place and not to be in the other. Let us tonight examine where exactly is the burial of the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Where is his head buried? And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, who was in charge of the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? And were all the heads treated in the same way? And what narration shows us the way they treated the head of a particular beloved one of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? Number two, what's the opinion of non-Shia as to where the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam lies? And is there any truth that Imam al-Husayn's head is next to the grave of his grandmother or his mother, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Number three, what is the opinion that his head is in the land of Damascus or in the land of Palestine? Number four, why do they say it's in Egypt? And what does the Fatimid Empire have to do with the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? Number five, could his head be next to his father's body in Najaf? And what are the opinions about the number of hadiths that we have in Shia literature that say he is buried next to his father, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in terms of his head, whereas his body is in Karbala? And finally, what is the opinion on the head being back with the body in Karbala? And which ulama conclude with this opinion, and what is their reasoning? Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, who was placed in charge of his head? You see, you had certain people who were placed in charge of the heads of the family of Imam al-Husayn, or the heads of the companions of Imam al-Husayn. Shimr ibn al-Jawshan, and the likes of who? Qais ibn al-Ash'ath, Amr ibn Hajjaj, they were in charge of the family of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam's heads, and the heads of who? The companions of Imam al-Husayn. And but who was in charge of the head of the Imam? There were two. One was Khuli or Khuwalla bin Yazid al-Asbahi. And the other one was Hamid bin Muslim al-Azdi. They were placed in charge of the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. They had a particular role. Look after this head. You bring it into Kufa. And then we will make a mockery of this head as a symbol of our power. Many of you know that Khuli, when he took the head, he came towards Kufa in the evening. And so when he came towards Kufa in the evening, that following day, they wanted to parade the head of Imam al-Husayn during the daytime. Khuli would take the head of Imam al-Husayn. Look where they placed the head of the Imam. They literally placed the head in an oven in the house of Khuli. When his wife would ask, what is that that you have placed? He said, I brought the head of the son of Fatima into our house. Look how normal it became. That firstly, as a human being, you don't just bring people's heads home. I think there are even certain mafia bosses who will turn around and say that we normally dispose of these things somewhere in the middle of a forest. We don't just bring a head home. Look what the Umayyad worldview was, that he had brought the head home. His wife looking at him saying, how could you bring the head of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? towards our house in the state. Then he would go with that head. And when he'd go with the head, who would he go to? He'd go towards Ibn Ziyad. He made a fatal error when he went to Ibn Ziyad. What was his fatal error when he went to Ibn Ziyad? He decided to recite some poetry. And in his poetry, he said that fill my stirrup with silver and gold. For I have brought with me the head of the person who comes from the best father and the best mother. Yes. And the best in them in honor of all those who you are told. Ibn Ziyad looked at him and he's thinking, hold on a minute. You brought me this head, but what did you just say? He said, I bought the head of the son of the best father and mother. He said, but hold on, you're just admitting now that his father Ali and his mother Fatima are the best. He said, yes, we admit that, but we don't like them. Ibn Ziyad said, then I'm not going to fill your stirrup with any gold or silver. You're not meant to mention lines like that. But for Ibn Ziyad, what was enough for him? Ibn Ziyad wanted one thing, and that is the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam next to him as a sign of his power, a symbol of his power. And he'd sit there, poke the eyes of Imam al-Husayn, poke the teeth of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And then from there, they realized that the people of Kufa were getting in some sort of uproar. How could you have the son of Fatima, his head being placed over here? So some of them began to cause trouble. Yazid also wanted to parade the head as soon as he could. So the head left from there. When the head left from there, it had 26 stops on the way towards Sham. It was on a spear and it would stop at different places. And that's why sometimes when you hear, for example, that the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was in Halab, Halab was one of the stops. We cannot deny that one of the stops where the head was in Halab, does not mean that his head is buried in Halab. One of the stops was in Raqqa. Does that mean that his head is buried in Raqqa? No. They stopped, they would place the head there, they would leave it there until they would move the next day. Of course, in some cases, they had to run before the next day because people realized, whose head is that? That's the head of the grandson of the Prophet. And they would pelt them with stones. And Shimmer and others would say, quickly, get a move on. Let us go towards Sham as quick as we can. Eventually, they would get to Sham. From here, the question arises that we know the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam definitely reaches Yazid in Sham. When it reaches Yazid in Sham, Yazid would do two things next to the head. One is drink alcohol next to the head of the grandson of Rasulullah, and the other would be playing chess next to the head. He'd sit there, he'd enjoy his time with that head. From there, the question arose, where did that head go? If it was there in Sham, what did Yazid do with that head? The first opinion is that Yazid ordered that the head be sent back safely and securely with honor. This is the narration of Ibn Sa'd. Ibn Sa'd, many of you would have heard of his book about the order and the position of the Sahaba, the Tabaqat. Ibn Sa'd narrates that Yazid ordered that with nobility and honor, return the head of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi to Medina. He had a governor in Medina. His name was Amr, the son of Sa'id ibn al-As. They used to call him Amr, the son of Sa'id al-Ashdaq. He said, return the head to Amr. He is the governor of Medina. Amr, bury him next to his mother, Fatima al-Zahra, alayhi salam. So the first opinion is the head of Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, is where? The head of Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, is in Jannat al-Baqi'. They say the general opinion that the head of Imam al-Husayn is in Baqi' next to his mother, Fatima. This opinion is from who? From Ibn Sa'd. Ibn Sa'd has a particular leniency to Bani Umayyah. A lot of the henchmen of Bani Umayyah, he talks about with glory. So he obviously is not going to want to make them look bad in any way. So what would Ibn Sa'd do? Ibn Sa'd would make sure that Yazid would be looked at with honor. How do we dispel this myth that Imam al-Husayn's head is in Medina? In which way do we dispel it? First way we dispel it, Yazid has no honor or nobility to say, please return this head safely to the land of Medina. Nor is Yazid interested that you should bury the head next to his mother, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Since when did you see Yazid have any respect for her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, for him to have respect for Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? The same Yazid himself said, فَلَا جَاءَ خَبَرٌ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلٌ لَعِبَتْ هَاشِمْ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا جَاءَ خَبَرٌ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلٌ. Hashim, Bani Hashim, played with a kingdom. There was no news, there was no revelation. So do we expect that Yazid will say, please make sure you give him to Bani Hashim in Medina, let Bani Hashim bury him nicely in Jannat al-Baqi'? Number one, Yazid wouldn't do it. Number two, his governor in Medina had the most vicious hate for Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. His governor, the name Amr ibn Sa'id ibn al-As, he had a hate for Ahlul Bayt. He's the same governor who was in Mecca, who was ready to behead Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam, literally at the time of Hajj, he was ready to behead Imam al-Hussein by the Kaaba. We know that a mosquito, you cannot kill it if it comes on your ihram. Let alone the blood of the grandson of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. This Amr bin Sa'id was originally governor of Mecca, now governor of Medina. This person, we really expect that this person is going to really feel sorry and take the command and look after the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Do you know when the family of Imam al-Hussein returned to Medina, many of them were crying, some were wailing. He was like, why are they wailing? Over which issue? Suddenly I see all these ladies. You're wailing today? There was a day when we wailed. One for one, tit for tat. It happens. I now expect that this Amr, son of Sa'id, is really going to be the one who's going to look after the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Further than that, what is the most obvious contradiction in the whole of this statement? What is the most obvious one when you think of this statement? Bury him next to his mother. What's the most obvious contradiction? Who knows where his mother Fatima is buried? Until today, 1,400 years after his mother was killed, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, I ask you, who knows where she's buried? We know about everybody else where they're buried. Everybody who lived alongside Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, either Jannat al-Mu'allat or Jannat al-Baqiyah, or next to the Prophet, peace be upon his family. Some went as far as Turkey, they got killed there. Some went towards Iraq, they got killed there. Some went towards this place and that place. Except his daughter, Fatima. None of us know where she's buried. Shi'i, non-Shi'i. Go to all the sources of literature, ask them, where is Fatima buried? She had asked, bury me secretly in the middle of the night. And I don't want those who have oppressed me to come to my funeral. Purposely. Because why? Because amongst her Shia, please bear with me on this line, amongst her Shia and outside of her Shia, one day will come out a group who will say that Fatima just died a normal death. If she died a normal death, why is she so adamant to be buried secretly? Just bury me normally. Normal, I mean, died a normal death, just bury me normally. Why do I have to be buried secretly? Why only a handful number of people? Because she was making it clear, just in case books are written, you get confused, there's contradictions, my grave or the lack of knowledge of my grave will be the symbol of what happened when the Prophet died. You may hear many hundreds of opinions about what happened after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but never forget to tell them, where's Fatima's grave? If it was all smooth after the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, died, I ask you, where is the grave of Fatima? So when we see this first opinion that Medina bury him next to his mother Fatima, who knows where his mother's grave is? And believe you me, there is a hikmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this. Because for years, people would get away with murder, with crimes, had this not been the case. They'd say, well, you know where all your imams are buried. But Fatima, none of us know where she's buried. So the first opinion that the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is in Medina, that opinion we reject. Second opinion, they say the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is in Sham itself. They brought the head of Imam al-Hussein to Sham. Yazid kept it in Sham. Why would Yazid return anything? Yazid left it in Sham. The Umayyads knew that this was a symbol of their prowess. One Umayyad Khalifa, because after Yazid, who did we have? After Yazid, Muawiyah, son of Yazid. After Muawiyah, Marwan ibn al-Hakam. After Marwan, Abd al-Malik. And then you had amongst Abd al-Malik's sons, Sulaiman, the son of Abd al-Malik, Walid, the son of Abd al-Malik. Sulaiman, the son of Abd al-Malik, there is an opinion that he had noticed that there was a box and he didn't know what it was. So when he looked, he found a set of heads there. And he had seen that of these heads, one of them was the head of Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam. And so therefore, they decided that they were going to keep those heads over there. Do we believe that there's a chance that some of the heads were in Sham? Without a doubt. We've all been to Bab al-Saghir, haven't we? Haven't we gone to the area where the heads were? Some have the impression that the heads all remained there. No, the heads were there in Sham. They kept them there for a certain period. But do we believe that these heads remained there in the land of Sham? We don't believe that. On the contrary, we don't believe that the Umayyads would have kept these heads. Rather, the Umayyads could have disposed of them as they wanted. So that second opinion, we reject as well. Third opinion, what is there? The third opinion is that he is in Asqalan, Palestine. Someone says, why would he be in Asqalan? One opinion is that when people heard Imam al-Hussein's head was with Yazid, the people of Palestine, remember, his father ruled a vast area. They ruled Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. That was all theirs. So the people would have close contacts with them. One opinion was that the people of that area, when they heard Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was with Yazid, his head, so they asked, can we please take the head and have him in Asqalan? Today there is a mausoleum for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in that area, where people honor Imam al-Hussein because they say that this is definitely where the head was bought. That was one opinion. A second opinion was no. The second opinion was that the Fatimids were involved in having the head in Asqalan. How? The Fatimids, as you know, was an Ismaili Shi'i government. The Ismailis had ruled parts of Egypt for a long time. And so what you had, they had that vast empire. When one of the ministers who was an advisor to the Fatimid Khalifa, Muntasir Billah, he had an advisor, Badr al-Jamali, or Badr al-Jamali, he had seen a dream that the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was over there in Asqalan. And therefore, on the basis of that dream, he went there and he asked for that area which he had seen to be exhumed. When they exhumed it, they found the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in that area. So from then, they decided, the Fatimid Empire decided that we're going to build a mausoleum in Asqalan to honor the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. From there, the Fatimids, therefore, one opinion was that they were the ones who established the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to be where? In Asqalan. Another opinion, however, is what? That when we go to Cairo today, the Egyptians have a profound love for Ahlul Bayt. Salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. I've been to Cairo on the 3rd of Sha'ban. 3rd of Sha'ban, wilada of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Outside the haram, where they say the head of Imam al-Hussein is, on the 3rd of Sha'ban, non-Shia gather together with candles. They light candles. The whole area is lit with candles in honor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, because they say that our biggest blessing is to have Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in Cairo. If you look at the remnants of the Fatimid Empire in Cairo, you have on the one hand Al-Azhar, the seminary Al-Azhar. Then you have, for example, Sayyida Nafisa of the descendants of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. And you have Imam al-Hussein and you have Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam. Sayyida Zainab, the discussion as to how her grave is there, we'll come to on another night. But Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the Fatimids, there is an opinion that the Fatimids had been the ones who had taken the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. In some opinions, they say that when they had seen that the crusaders had come to attack certain parts where the head was placed, say, for example, in Damascus or in Palestine, they said that, look, they're going to come and attack the holy head. So why don't you give us the holy head? We will take the holy head and we will place it where? We'll place it in the land of Cairo. And they adamantly believe, and this is when we're talking over how many years ago? Over 800, 900 years ago. Until today, around that area, there is a dharih. Someone asks, hold on, how comes they have a dharih? And how comes people hold the dharih? Because there is a difference between the Salafi worldview and the worldview of the non-Salafi. There are certain people who are not Shia, they may be labeled Sunni, but they don't see themselves as Salafi. Meaning, they still honor the graves and the shrines of personalities who were the greatest servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go to India, you go to Pakistan, you'll see that there are many people whose shrines still bring barakah to the people of that area. If you go to Iraq, you can have on the one side Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, on the other side Abu Hanifa, on the other side Abdul Qadir al-Gilani or Abdul Qadir al-Jilani. All of these in one city. All of these can be found in Baghdad. Because for many years, the Muslims had no problem that they would build a dharih on top of the grave of someone who had sacrificed for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Egypt, you go towards the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, you'll see people holding the shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, saying that this is where the head of the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was placed. Therefore, what do we find? We find that all of these opinions were given. Medina, Damascus, you go towards Asqalan, you go towards Egypt. We reject the opinions, for example, when it comes towards Egypt or Asqalan. With all due respect to these other schools, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for trying to honor Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. At the end of the day, that's still something meritorious that they try to honor the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, better than the way that others had honored him. They're honored that he was amongst them. But we reject this idea on the basis of a number of points. And of them, the most important of them is that we have enough traditions that the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was seen, where there are two opinions in Shi'i thought. The first opinion is that Imam al-Hussein's head is next to the grave of who? Imam Ali alayhi salam. You find this in the traditions. And by the way, this is very clear in our traditions, that Imam al-Hussein's head is near the grave of Imam Ali alayhi salam, where they say in the Ghari area, let's say for example, in that land, modern day Najaf, or what in the past we would talk of Kufa for example, they say that is where the head of Imam al-Hussein is. To the extent that there are narrations that our sixth Imam tells his companions, for example, he says to them that there is a big grave in Najaf and there is a small one. The big one is the grave of who? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And the small one is the grave where the head of Imam al-Hussein is. Now this can be seen in a number of traditions, because many people today will go towards Karbala, but we have traditions that the head of Imam al-Hussein is in Najaf and the body of Imam al-Hussein is in Karbala. But again, many of the ulama do not take this opinion. Someone says, why? At the end of the day, if it's in our literature, why would we not take this opinion? Surely you would want to take it on. The reason they will not take this opinion is because they believe that the traditions concerning Najaf are related to the fact that Imam al-Hussein's head, as I mentioned earlier, rested in that area for a couple of days before it moved on. How many of you have been to Masjid Hannana? Many of you would have been, and those of us who've come with us on Ziyarah, you've been to Masjid Hannana. Masjid Hannana in Kufa is known as Hannana. Why? Because they say that one of the pillars becomes what? There is a certain sound that could be heard from the area of one of the pillars on two occasions. The first occasion, when you had the janazah of Imam Ali alayhi salam come past that area. Imam Ali alayhi salam was hit, died in Kufa. Buried where? Najaf. So he would have to go through where? He goes through certain streets in Kufa. All of us who've been from our hotel in Najaf, we go towards Masjid al-Kufa. You will come past Masjid Hannana. Masjid Hannana, they say that the first time there was a feeling where they could feel a sense of even a sound of sadness coming was from where? Was from the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. When was the second time? Khuli on his way towards where? On his way towards Kufa, had placed the head of Imam al-Hussein near Masjid Hannana. And so therefore, the opinion of many scholars is that when we say that Imam al-Hussein's head is in that area, meaning it rested there in that area. It was there for a certain time in that area, but nothing further than that. Why? Because many of our ulama point to what? They point to the fact that Imam al-Hussein's head was returned to the body in Karbala. Because you see, my dear brothers and sisters, the head, its journey took its toll. The head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the head of Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam had a profound effect on al-Muhammad. You know, Abul Fadl, when Imam al-Hussein's head was taken into Kufa, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, at least his head was on a spear. The others were on a spear. I remember Shajari has a book called his Amali, Amali al-Khamisiyya, if I'm not mistaken. Within there, he narrates this tradition. He says, Qasim, the son of Asbagh, the son of Nubata. Al-Asbagh bin Nubata was one of the last people to see Imam Ali before he died. Qasim, the son of Al-Asbagh bin Nubata, Qasim narrates, when the heads entered Kufa, I noticed something. I saw all the heads on spears except one. It was hanging from the neck of a horse on a string. He said the person in charge of it was Harmala bin Kahil. Harmala bin Kahil had been responsible for a number of arrows on the 10th of Muharram. The right eye of Abbas was him. Abdullah, the son of Imam al-Hasan, was him. The six-month-old baby was him. And you had as well who Imam al-Hussein's chest was him. Harmala bin Kahil was also known to be extremely good-looking. Very well known to be good-looking. Person, they would say, was one of the best-looking Arabs you would ever see. When he would ride his horse, people would look at his beauty. Qasim, the son of Al-Asbagh bin Nubata, says, I will never forget, on that day, I saw Harmala tie the head of Abul Fadl around the neck of the horse on a string, purposely to hurt, to humiliate Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, to humiliate Abul Fadl even further. He said when the horse would put its head back, you'd see the head hit the back of the horse. And then when the horse would go down, the head would hit the floor as it's walking. He said years later, I would see who Harmala bin Kahil looking so disgusting that you would think he has been in fire. He said, I came towards him. I said to him, Harmala, because there was a tribal tie. He said, I said to him, Harmala, there was a time you were the most wonderful looking, beautiful Arab. Look at you now. He goes, Qasim, I'll tell you something. What I did to Abbas's head by placing it on that string purposely. Others are on spears. Abbas, I wanted his head to hit the ground every moment. He said, what I did, I receive angels every night who I feel are burning me in Jahannam before I've reached Jahannam. He goes, I just feel it. I feel it completely. The same heat in the arrow he put in the six-month-old baby, that same heat he was feeling every night. Qasim says, I turn around to his wife who was from the tribe of Tame. I said, is this true? She goes, he screams like a madman every night. Wakes me up from his screaming. I don't know what's happened to him, but the man cannot sleep. What they had done to the head of Abul Fadl on the one side. Then on the other side, what they had done to the head of who? Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because Kulthum, when they entered Sham, Kulthum had a request from Shimr bin Diljoshan. What was her request? She said, don't, please, we ask you, do not let us enter and the heads are in front of us. Because why? Because it's not easy for all these ladies to see the heads of their beloved in front of them. You imagine as a young girl seeing the head of your father in front of you. You imagine seeing the head of your brother in front of you. And that's why Imam Sahib al-Asr al-Zaman recites that line, As-salamu ala ru'us al-mushalat, peace be upon the heads that were raised on spears and carried. So, Kulthum, she would ask Shimr, she would say to him, Shimr, allow us please to enter from different gates. We as ladies, and these are the nights, my dear brothers and sisters, we as ladies are not used to entering with everyone staring at us. Let us enter from different gates. And Shimr would turn around and say, no chance. She said, okay, the heads, at least take them off spears, please. And he would say, no, they're going to remain on the spears. And even Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam would try and pay people, just take those heads off those spears, for those are breaking our hearts. Do not allow those heads to remain on those spears. And again, people would not listen. And that head of Imam al-Hussein, yes, was in Sham. Yazid has it in Sham. One night, a three-year-old wakes up in the middle of the night screaming, I want to see my father. And again, Yazid knows he's got the head of Imam al-Hussein in a box. And Yazid, what does he do? Well, if she wants to see her father, take the head. No mercy whatsoever. Place the head right in front of that daughter. So you see the journey that head's been through. Poked in the eye. Poked in the teeth. Placed on a spear. Thrown to cause the death of a three-year-old. Paraded in the streets of Sham and Kufa and so many other cities. Until eventually Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam and Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam in their sermons end up making Yazid ask them, what is it that you want? Because how do we reach the conclusion that the head is buried in Karbala? In which way? In a number of ways. One way is that Sharif al-Murtada in his Rasail says, and the head was returned to the body in Karbala. Likewise, Sheikh al-Saduq in his Amali narrates from the daughter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was present at Karbala, that we returned to Karbala and Imam Zain al-Abidin returned with the head and put it back with the body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. What further? Further than that, Yazid asked. He looked at Zainab alayhi salam and he looked towards Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. And when he looked towards them, he said to them, what can I give you? What do you want? Because clearly their sermons had affected. So they said to him, what you have given, what you have taken from us, you can never give back to us. Who can return that baby to Rabah? Who can return? Anyone who's lost a baby, miscarried a baby. You speak to a lady who's miscarried her baby. Just look at the emotion that she goes through. Let alone a lady who cannot even feed her child anymore. Rabab was devastated in Sham. She couldn't take it because if we take that opinion that that baby's head was on that spear, I don't want any mother to ever see such a thing. May a mother never see her baby paraded with people looking at the baby everywhere. So the narrations, what do they mention? That whatever you've taken from us, you can never give back to us. So at that moment, he says, what is it that you want? And he threw money at them. He says, I'll give you money. Take money. And Kulthum looked at him. She said, you give money for the head of Sayyid al-Shuhada? That is what you think we are? That you throw money at us? So what is it that you want? Imam Zain al-Abidin stood up. Imam Zain al-Abidin at that moment said, what we want, number one, look what he asked for first. Give us the spindle of our grandmother Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. They had a particular spindle which they had taken off them. He said, give us the spindle of our grandmother Fatima. He said, okay, I'll give you that back. What else do you want? Give the heads back to us. Allow us to return to Medina. These are the nights, my brothers and sisters. How many of us wish we were in Karbala right now, outside the haram of Sayyid al-Shuhada? Give us the heads back. Allow us to return back to Medina via Karbala. He said, very well. Arrange for them to have their heads and arrange for them to return back. For those mothers now, it would be the first time they all come back to Karbala. I ask you, how difficult was it for those mothers returning back? Each and every one of them, Rabab, Ramla, Zainab, alayhi salam, each and every one of them is difficult. But it's more difficult for someone returning back, one may argue, to visit his father's body. Yes, because it was difficult for him burying his father. Now, not just burying the father, now it becomes even more of a difficult situation. What is it? It is to return back towards the body of your father and knowing that you have to remove some of the earth of Karbala so that you place the head of the body back towards the body. Only Allah knows the patience that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi alayhi salam had. Only Allah knows the strength that he had when he returned to Karbala to place the head back with the body. We had mentioned something. We had said that the head had spoken a number of times towards Sham. Do you agree? There were a number of times that the head spoke towards Sham. But I tell you something. I remember one of the scholars saying that the head of Imam al-Hussein spoke 10 times on the journey. But the head of Imam al-Hussein only shed one tear on the journey. They asked him what? He said the tear when he saw Ruqayya fall on the head. That was the only time. Otherwise, there were a number of times that the head spoke. When Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam returned with the head, he removed a piece of the earth of Karbala. It was a difficult moment. At that moment, he placed the head back with the body. The moment he placed the head back with the body, he heard a voice from the mouth of Imam al-Hussein. What was that voice? Take your hearts to Karbala tonight. Boy, boy, الطفل حط على صدري. أبويا أبويا الطفل حط على صدري وبهون وبهون حط النحرة على نحري أبويا أبويا الطفل حط على صدري وبهون وبهون حط نحرة على نحري مقد تدري. This line without a doubt is one that breaks our heart. What does he say? My son Ali, Ali, place the baby on my chest. And his neck, place his neck on my neck. Don't you know that the heat of that arrow hurts me until today? He placed the baby on the chest of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, having returned the head back to the body. And then what did he do? Then he placed the rest of the heads back to who they belong to. Rabab's heart broke at the scene, seeing that her baby was buried in this way, seeing that finally her baby could lay under the ground like any mother would want her baby to be buried. In Karbala, she cried for her baby when he fell. In Kufa, she cried for her baby when he fell. In Sham, she cried for her baby when he fell. In Karbala, she cried for her baby when he was buried. But when she returned back to Medina, as soon as she entered her house, she said, remove the roof from my house. They said to her, Rabab, why? The heat of the sun of Medina is gonna burn your body. She said, no, no, remove the roof from the top of my house. At that moment, they came and removed the roof. They said to her, Rabab, why do you do this? Her reply is a reply that breaks every heart. What did she say? How can I cover myself from the heat of the sun? And Abu Abdullah's body was burnt by it. How can I live in the shade while the grandson of Rasulullah had no one to cover his body? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ziyarah of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow us to be next to the shrine of our Imam. Allow us to gain from the blessings that surround the grave of the Imam and the family of the Imam and the companions of the Imam. There are many of our brothers and sisters who wish that they could be in Karbala on a night like this. Ya Allah, bless them that they're able to be in the land of Karbala very soon. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst those raised with the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Asri wal-Zaman. Let us all come together. There are many who are feeling unwell in this period, in this difficult trial that many of us face. Let's all come together in dua, my dear brothers and sisters. Let's pray for all of them one by one if we can. With the ayah of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muzhtarra idha da'ah wa yakshibu al-su'. All of us together. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء
أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the originators of this majlis to provide them with the intercession of Muhammad and Al Muhammad. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the organizers for Imam Hussein TV and their team behind the scenes with a Surah Al-Fatiha in honor of their marhumin. And we welcome our respected reciters tonight, Mulla Muhammad Abbas Karim and Mulla Ammar Nashid, with the loudest of your salawat.